This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, bros? Welcome to the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we promise we'll have a new intro next week.
So he says.
So I say. But until we actually figure out what the hell we're doing with that, this week on the podcast, I guess we can still like talk. I'm Caleb.
Wait, what?
I jacked this up. I like royally screwed this up.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And this week on the podcast, we are talking about one new item in 4K Spotlight and then getting straight into our breakdown of Pixar's Lightyear. It's Pixar, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh my god.
I know, I saw the movie this like today and I'm like, I swear I saw the lamp, but I'm not 100% sure. And I know if I say Disney's Lightyear, like, I would catch shit for it. So.
Even if you said Disney Pixar's Lightyear, that's fine, but, like...
Yeah, but I did that, like, I think I did that with Frozen 2. I said Disney Pixar's Frozen 2, and you're just like, excuse you.
Well, yeah, because it's just Disney. how do you... It's okay.
Whatever, I forgot. Anyway.
How do you forget? It's a Toy Story spinoff.
Whatever. Forget you. Anyway, so that's what you guys can look forward to this episode. So with that, let's say we get right on into it.
Let's do it.
Hello, my name is Brecker Nurse, and I want to tell you about my fun horror movie podcast called Autopsy of a Horror Movie. On my show, I like to have fun dissecting out what makes a horror movie scary, what worked for it, what didn't, what types of fears does it play off of? Is it an allegory for any sort of message? I don't know, but let's find out. Also, I like to watch slashers. I'm a big slasher guy, so I'll watch a slasher and do a kill grade for it. I will cover the kills and I will tell you how I would grade it based on shock, method, style points, and a fourth category that is a reflection of the movie. Besides those, I'll have fun with special topic episodes, commentary tracks, interviews with guests, including some Shudder directors, so I just like to have a fun time over here. If any of this sounds interesting to you or you just want to come check me out, please head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere they listen to podcasts and search for Autopsy of a Horror Movie. Also be sure to find me on Instagram at Brecker Horror, where you get fun updates and some cool little posts that I do. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you get to enjoy the show, and I'll see you on Instagram. Bye.
Alrighty, first up in 4K Spotlight. We got one new movie coming out. Rose, you want to tell us all about this one?
I would love to. So, I don't know if anyone actually saw this movie, because I don't think... Well, no, I'm sure a lot of people did. It just didn't perform that well at the box office. But, the third Fantastic Beasts film is coming to 4K and Blu-ray. Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. And shocker, we're also getting some exclusives with it. So first off, we have the Target exclusive, which... What does the Target exclusive come with? So this is just a bare bones Blu-ray exclusive. I hate that they do this. I wish that they would do this with 4Ks, not Blu-rays, but whatever. So it's a 16-page Newt's Journal booklet with beast sketches and more. Sounds fun.
Sounds super fun, I guess.
I don't know. And then we have the... So apparently Walmart is like now getting into like doing box sets for Warner Brothers movies because they did it with the Batman too. But I mean, that one was badass, the Batman one. But they're doing that with The Secrets of Dumbledore as well. And it's just a limited edition collectible Newt's case with pop-up. That's actually pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool. Yeah.
I think the last, what was it? The fork when they did this for the Batman, the 4K was $40. And then, the regular Blu-ray, was $35 for this exclusive. So that's actually really cool that they're offering it on both Blu-ray and 4K for the Walmart exclusive. And then we'll also be getting a 4K Steelbook. And this one is actually really, I feel this one's actually pretty cool. It's actually, as far as I know, the pre-orders are actually already sold out, which like amazes me, but I really didn't plan on getting this because I don't have the first two on Steelbook. I only have them on just regular Blu-ray. So it would have just been out of place, and they're expensive now. I can't find them for under $80
each. Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm not paying that for Fantastic Beasts. Don't get me wrong, I like these movies, but I don't like them that much. So, I mean, I'll just be picking up when I actually do, just like a bare-bones 4K release of this film. But the Steelbook is actually really cool because it's, so it has Hogwarts in the background, and then it has a phoenix feather on fire flowing through the air. Flying through the air, not flowing through the air. Wow. So that's pretty cool. I actually really like that Steelbook. But, like I said, I don't need it. Well, I can't even get it now because, you know, pre-orders are sold out. And then apparently there might be a second Target exclusive. Or wait, no, that's the same. Wait, I guess they're... Wait, it looks like they're also doing a 4K of the Target exclusive. I mean, it doesn't show a picture, but it says that they are.
Weird that they wouldn't have an image for that.
Wait a damn... Okay, I hate... Sorry. I hate when they do this. Or this is the first time I'm seeing it. So they say Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore, 4K Blu-ray, Target exclusive, with Newt's Journal, Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD. So they're saying, oh, it's the 4K Blu-ray, but no, it's still... It's the same one. So it's not... There's not a 4K version. Damn it. I'm sorry, guys, to let you down. But yeah, so if you guys want to pick up Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, you got quite a selection to choose from when it comes to just regular release and exclusives. And then also, I forgot to mention that Firestarter, that new movie with Zac Efron, also drops on Blu-ray this Tuesday.
Nice. Dude, I don't know if there's ever been a week where you've been able to get all of the 4Ks in the list before we start.
Yeah, I know. Shut up.
Oh. But that's why we love you.
Don't anyway. You judge me.
Well, cool. Well, with that being our only news item this week, we can move on to this week's headliner, where we break down Pixar's Lightyear. Alrighty, like I said, we'll be breaking down the newest Pixar movie, Lightyear. So if you are new to our breakdown system, we have broken movies up into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. And the 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up in our algorithm and spit out a letter grade for us to look at. So with that, starting off with story, Rose is about to spoil the entire movie for you. So, do yourself a favor, go check out Lightyear first, and then come back and give this a listen. So if you listen past this point, it's your own damn fault if the movie spoiled for you, so.
So I just want to point out, in this first sentence, it literally puts away, or like puts, I feel, to rest all of the people that say, the movie's nothing like, you know, like the animated show. It doesn't have like all these certain characters, you know, yada, yada, yada.
It's not it supposed says, to be.
Exactly. It says, a framing device explains that in 1995, a young Andy Davis saw Lightyear, the film that inspired the Buzz Lightyear toy line. Inspired. That means that, yeah, they took some of the characters that were in this movie, mostly just Buzz Lightyear. But
this, you know, brings up so many questions for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if this is the movie, because they gave us that. So they gave us that little title, like, this is the movie that inspired, like, the Buzz Lightyear toy line, right?
Yeah.
And then right after that, they start playing Pixar credits. Or, like, introduction. Does that mean that Pixar exists within the Pixar universe?
Now, why you gotta fake into it like that?
And also, was this... was Lightyear an animated movie, or was it a live-action movie?
I'm going to assume that it was an animated movie, because no offense to Buzz Lightyear, but no one has his shape of head.
Well, think about in the Pixar universe. So, like, from Andy's perspective, was this a live-action movie?
God damn it.
Right?
I hate you. I like to think of it as animated.
Yeah, but then, it, like, would Andy believe that he's animated?
Why are you putting these thoughts into my head, you son of a bitch?
Dude, I didn't bring these thoughts up. Lightyear brought these thoughts up. It's freaking insane, you know, to think about, right? Freaking hurts your head.
You know what everyone wished, and I agree. That one of the post-credit, or sorry, well, no, this doesn't spoil anything. That one of the post-credit scenes, or even if the only post-credit screen, was literally it like panning back to Andy just like in awe after seeing the movie in the theater. That would have been great.
That would have been dope.
Yeah. What the hell, Pixar? You're like capitalizing, oh yeah, this is the movie that Andy saw in 1995. I feel that we should have seen a clip of Andy being in like absolute... him being absolutely mesmerized by what he just saw and be like, yeah, mom, can I get a Buzz Lightyear for my birthday?
That would have been sick. Or even do it with, like, Andy showing his kids that movie.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
Right?
Oh.
But unfortunately, no.
No, in Pixar's universe, Andy's book is closed.
That would have been a great way to kind of, like, not fully open it, but kind of, like, quick, like, hey, open shut.
I still want to see the Disney Plus little short where Andy comes back to Bonnie's house and just like, hey, where's all my toys? Especially Woody.
Yeah.
About dude. That. Well, no, I'm sorry. Not... Well, no, all the other toys are with her. Sorry. No, him just asking, hey, so where's Woody? About that.
Jeez. All right, anyway, got off track a little bit there.
Yeah, just, I mean, we're still talking about the movie, so it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Buzz Lightyear, a space ranger in Star Command, and his commanding officer and best friend, Alicia Hawthorne, explore the habitable planet Takani Prime with their new recruit, Featheringham Stan. You know, I can understand why he just called him the rookie. I get it.
Yep.
They are forced to retreat to their exploration vessel after discovering that the planet hosts hostile life forms. Buzz damages the vessel during the retreat, forcing the crew to evacuate in order to conduct repairs and continue their journey. 1 year later, the crew have constructed a nascent colony along with the necessary infrastructure to conduct repairs. Buzz volunteers to test hyperspace fuel, a key component of the repairs. However, after a four-minute test, he finds that 4 years have passed on Takani Prime due to the effects of time dilation from having traveled at relativistic, I think that's the word.
Jeez, I'm going to have to Google this for you.
Shut up. Relativistic speeds. Buzz is introduced to Sox, a robotic feline, and continues testing the hyperspace fuel. With every test, 4 more years pass on Takani Prime until eventually over 62 years have passed. During this time, the colony develops. Alicia raises a son with her wife, Kiko, subsequently dying of old age, and Sox improves the fuel's composition, allowing it to obtain faster-than-light speeds. Against the orders of his new commanding officer, Commander Burnside, Buzz uses this new fuel composition for a successful hyperspace test. Upon landing, Buzz discovers 22 years have passed, during which Takani Prime has been invaded by Cyclops robots led by the mysterious Zerg. Buzz meets up with the members of the colony's defense forces, including Izzy Hawthorne, Alicia's now adult granddaughter, Mo Morrison, a fresh, naive recruit, and Darby Steele, an elderly paroled convict. While initially reluctant to work with them, Buzz eventually warms to them. Together, they plan to attack Zerg's ship and destroy the invading force. I feel like I almost said Encanto. I'm not that white. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Following an encounter, Zerg abducts Buzz, bringing him aboard his ship, where he reveals that he is an older Buzz from an alternate timeline in which he escaped from Burnside's forces after the successful hyperspace test. Aided by the effects of time dilation, he traveled to the far future, encountering a technologically advanced and abandoned vessel. He assumed Zerg's identity by wearing his signature mecha suit and traveled to the now present to obtain more hyperspace fuel from Buzz in order to travel further back in time and prevent the exploration vessel. Prevent the exploration vessel from landing on Takani Prime in the first place. However, Buzz refuses due to the implications of the possible temporal paradox that would result from such actions, which would wipe out the current timeline and everyone from it. Meanwhile, Izzy, Mo, Darby, and Sox board Zerg's ship to assist Buzz. After a chaotic assault on the ship, Buzz and his comrades in arms destroy the ship and escape. However, Zerg, having survived his ship's destruction, arrives and attacks Buzz, grabbing the hyperspace fuel. As Zerg prepares to destroy him, Buzz shoots the fuel, causing it to explode and incapacitate Zerg. With the fuel gone, Buzz wishes to stay on Takani Prime. Upon landing, Burnside arrests Buzz but relents, allowing Buzz to revive the Space Ranger corpse. Dude, I'm fired from this. Like, I just want you to let you know that. I'm fired. I can't read a simple Pixar storyline. Buzz selects Izzy, Mo, Darby, and Sox to form the core of this organization, much to Burnside's surprise. Buzz and his team are then sent off to a new adventure in parts unknown. In a post-credit scene, Zerg is revealed to have survived the explosion.
There we go.
I made it.
Alright, just kind of taking off in story.
Are you going to infinity and beyond?
So, this one's tough for me, because it's like, the premise for this is pretty solid. Like, it's, like, I still kind of have, like, fresh eyes on this movie. So, I mean, I'm trying to not be as like, oh my gosh, that was so good. Even though it was.
That's fair.
Like, I had an amazing time watching this movie.
Oh, I did too. I actually saw this movie twice.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, because, so I saw it Saturday, and then I really wanted to see it next day, so I went and saw it Monday.
Nice.
Yeah. Although, both freaking times, there was someone up front of me playing on their freaking phone a couple times during the movie.
I hate people.
Why... like every, I don't know what it is. Literally ever since like COVID, not COVID ended, but ever since like, you know, like things have like started to kind of get back to normal and like, you know, everything's kind of like more relaxed, yada, yada, yada. Every single time I go to the movies, it feels like someone pulls out their phone in front of me. My experience is always somewhat ruined. It's never been perfect ever since, God, when we started going back to the movies.
Dude, I'm so over movie theaters.
I'm getting to there, and I never thought I would say that.
Someone did pull their phone out during my viewing today. The only thing that kind of like saved my viewing a little bit in my eyes was I got to experience a young kid being there. And so he was like flipping out and just having like a great time. And that was like, that was awesome to experience.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw it on Saturday. Yeah, there were, so there wasn't a lot of people at both showings, but I feel there was less people at the Saturday showing. But both of them were, dads with their, young sons. And I'm just like, that makes me smile. It was really sweet. Bringing your sons to a Buzz Lightyear movie.
Yeah.
And they were actually very well behaved both times.
Really?
Kids weren't the problem with my theater experience with this movie. It was people with their damn phones.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. But yeah, so like I said, overall, like the story was, I felt it fit really well. Like I don't think they went too crazy with the story, which ended up working out in its favor. Like I felt like they could have tried to go like really deep and philosophical and just lots of character building and all this other stuff, but they kept the story just, it felt pretty basic.
It did, and I actually really liked that too. I appreciated that they tried to keep this really grounded in reality. Whereas like how we talked about with like the beginning of them saying, oh, you know, this is the movie that started it all, and then they branched off with creating, you know, other characters and kind of making it more, not like kiddie, but like making it more like, what's the word? Because this is still sci-fi. I don't know, but like more, God damn it, whatever. You know what I mean, though, right?
I mean, I do. I'm not sure everyone else that's listening does.
I don't know how to explain this, though. This is the problem. You add lore onto lore? No, that doesn't make sense.
It's like world building?
That's the word. Thank you. Yeah, you just keep adding and adding, and that's where, to me, I feel that's where like the animated show goes with that, but this is where it all started and they branched off from this. But yeah, I had a blast with the story. The beginning, I feel, freaking captivates you. Super, super good. Honestly, I feel the biggest problem I have is I felt in the middle there was like a little bit of stumbling. Like when they're in that room, before Zurg attacks them again, and they're just like,
talking about that mining area.
Yes, and like they're like they have like the sandwich thing and everything.
Yeah,
I don't know, that the movie kind of hit like a road stop for me. Just a little bit.
Yeah, but there were some definite pacing issues there. It's just they spent a little too much time there.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I don't know, dude, after I got out of this movie, I went home and I made myself a sandwich. I don't know why I wanted
Did you
a
really?
Yeah, I did. After watching this movie, I wanted a sandwich. I did not make it how they did in this movie, though.
Oh.
Meat on the, no, meat on the top, under the bread, or sorry, on top of the bread. No. Ugh. That sounds gross. But yeah, no, overall, really good. I feel, I'm sure a lot of people had a problem with the whole Zerg twist with...
Okay.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was fine, too. And I really appreciated how when he came out of the suit, Buzz is immediately like, Dad? Yeah.
But I'm glad that they didn't turn it into that.
I know. I was so happy that they didn't do that. That would have been such a cop-out.
And he's just like, oh, no, I'm, you know, you from the a more distant future. I'm like, okay, thank God.
Yeah, and my problem, though, is, like, how... Like, it just seems super convenient in, like, a weird way. Like, and I know this is, like, ultimately a kid's show, but it's, or a kid's movie. But, like, he went so far in the future where technology was so advanced that he was able to somehow create a reverse hyperdrive to push himself backwards in time, and it seemed like the people, like, he landed and then Burnside was like waiting for him. It's like what? It's, yeah, just like a lot of weird shit that happened. I'm like, wait, then, I mean, I guess you can justify him being like, oh, well, Zerg was, like, attacking, so they were locked in their little base, so that's why he didn't meet them there.
But at the same time, isn't it supposed to be up until the point where he gets attacked by, oh my god, what's his commander after Hawthorne?
Burnside?
Burnside. Isn't it supposed to be the exact same timeline up until that point? So yes. So why is it that when Arbuzz, I guess, or like Young Buzz, he doesn't get, or like he isn't welcome, not welcomed, I guess, or how come he is not, you know what, I'm just gonna say welcome. How come he's not welcomed by Burnside, but yet old Buzz was welcomed by Burnside when he landed?
My thought on that is that Burnside is locked up in the colony with the laser grid, because the Zerg bots were attacking the laser grid.
You know what? I think you just said that before I said my sentence, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I kind of actually just fixed my issues.
Okay. Yeah, you fixed mine too. God damn it. Well, no, not god damn it. I don't know why I'm saying that.
Yeah, I mean, but it does make sense. Like, and we'll get into this with character development, but it just, seeing what that Buzz went through, like, it's understandable why he is just so mission focused and didn't have that, like, opportunity to grow and, like, connect with other people.
Yeah.
To at least not, like, he thought his only friend had, like, passed on, so it made sense that he's just like, you know what, F it, I'm gonna complete this mission, and goes and does some crazy shit.
I feel that's a slap in the face to socks, but
yeah, but it, like, I think my big problems with the Zerg persona was it just seems super convenient for him to travel so far in the future and find an abandoned ship. Like, what?
Yeah. I will fully admit, if I, you know, this was, like, the first movie I saw as a kid, and then, you know, they led into the Buzz Lightyear animated show after this movie, I feel Zerg is more intimidating in the animated show than he is in this movie.
I didn't watch too much of the animated show.
Really?
Growing up. Like, okay, like, if you're going based off of the, like, because we recently watched the Buzz Lightyear of Star Command animated movie.
We did.
That, I'll give you that. That Zerg was pretty intimidating.
Hmm. And, you know, I enjoyed the Zerg, don't get me wrong. But it was kind of weird just not hearing Zerg talk that much. Don't get me wrong, he looked cool.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the Zerg that I'm used to. And I get it, you know, this is supposed to be how Zerg started, and then they branched off from this and made the Zerg that we know. but that's my opinion. I do have a question. Did you cry? I feel you have to ask that in the Pixar movie.
Ooh. I'll be 100% real. I got real close with the message that Hawthorne left for Buzz.
Yeah, that, I'll fully admit I teared up. It was very sweet.
Dude, that was rough.
Yeah.
Like, and it sucks for Buzz, because, like, for him, it's only been, like, maybe a week worth of time, and he's seeing his friend, like, rapidly age. Yeah. And basically, like, experiencing her life from the outside, and just, it's insane to think about. And, like, you understand his motivations, because he's just so mission-focused. But I think, like, with someone like that, I think he was just, like, indoctrinated with the Space Ranger, like, ideal. Because I don't think it was really about the mission. He just wanted to, like, fix his mistake.
Yeah.
Which, can we talk about that for a second? Like, dude, what kind of bullshit, like, spaceship gets, like, a tiny little scratch on it and, like, stops working?
Apparently all ships at Star Command.
It was so dumb. I seriously, like, when you see the scratch, I was just like, yes, they made it. And then, like, it started crashing. I'm like, excuse you?
Why?
It was like a tiny little scratch. I'm like, or at least it looked like it.
It did.
And it was just, it was weird. It was super weird. So it's like those issues that I had with it brought the story down a little bit. And like you said, the pacing issues when they're at the mining colony, which I have to kind of give some writing props to that scene, because like I do feel like there was some pretty decent dialogue in that.
That
area, but pacing wise, it just felt so off. Cause it was go 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 go, and then it was like a freaking like halt.
Yep.
And then back to go 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 go. So, I'm trying to think of any other like story issues. Like I really liked Socks.
Oh god, don't get me started with that character, because oh my god, I loved him so much.
He was super fun.
I want a freaking Socks of my own. I mean, I know I have a real life cat, but I kind of want a Socks of my own.
Dude, I wanted to know why they were just gonna like take his cat from him.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, okay, cool. Like, it's basically like a loneliness droid. Like, and you're just going to go and take that from him? Like, freaking assholes.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Burnside just thought with, maybe Hawthorne had some, like, I don't know, some, like, files installed with Socks or some stuff like that. And so he didn't want Buzz to find them out. I don't know.
Right. Freaking weird. Other than that, I really like the team.
Yeah, dude, I don't know about you, but freaking when they're all walking out at the end in like their new Space Ranger suits. I got freaking chills because I'm like, oh my god, we actually get to see the, like, because I thought the one that we just saw in, like, the posters and trailers, I'm like, okay, you know, that looks really close to the toy. It makes sense that, you know, like, make it more look realistic. No, at the end, you actually, like, see full-on his Space Ranger suit looks exactly like the toy. And it's freaking awesome. Oh my gosh,
dude. That is just, I have so much to say about that when we get to costumes, but yes. Holy shit.
Freaking laser and all. Freaking wings. Oh.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about
So good. Yeah, so not there. No, that's more of a writing thing. I was going to say, a lot of the things that Buzz was missing in this, and like what we know for him to like to have from the toy, like the whole the laser on his wrist, the jetpack and everything with wings, like all of that stuff. I was wondering how they were going to incorporate all of that. And they did it with such finesse. Like, it's just like, hey, wrist mounted laser that Buzz was using. And it was just like some old equipment.
Yeah.
That he kind of like jerry rigged to be like wrist mounted, which was awesome to see. And then the ejection seat turned into a freaking jetpack, and when he popped out with the freaking wings, dude, I was like, yes! Like, I almost wish that there was more slow-mo on that shot.
Dude, doesn't he say not today, Zerg, too?
Yep.
Oh, that was just like the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I was just like, this is the best! Oh, but I love that. I love how he worked up to, like, the Buzz toy. The only thing that I don't think we got that, like, that I think of when I'm thinking of Buzz was the karate chop.
Yeah, I feel that probably would have been a little hard to incorporate.
Yeah, that definitely would have been, like, super hard. But other than that, like, they incorporated everything. I wish they would have gone over the buttons, dude. Because we only know, like... Like, they explained that the green one is, like, stealth mode, which was awesome. Like, the way that they performed stealth was sick. And I just wish we knew what the other buttons did.
Yeah, and that freaking, the big red button, wasn't that, like, what the hell was that called?
It was, like, the surrender.
That's what it
button,
was.
Button, but it was just, like, an airbag system.
After seeing this movie, I'm kind of mad that my Buzz Lightyear toy as a kid didn't come with a pen in it.
Dude, right?
I should have had a pen with my Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, but, I mean, overall, this was a story that I felt we didn't know we needed.
Yeah, I agree. Like, honestly, when they first announced this, I'm just like, okay, but like, I don't know how you guys are gonna pull this off, but thanks.
Yeah, it's like, but why? Good job.
Yeah, but why? But they did a pretty damn good job.
Yeah. So, with that, I think I'm in the high 80s for sure. The story is maybe the lowest thing for me.
That's fair.
Which I'm thinking like 86, maybe. Yeah, I'll go 86. Where are you at?
You know what? I was going to do 85, but I think I enjoyed it just that much. So, you know what? I'm going to match you at 86.
Nice. All right, so that averages out to an 86 for story. Moving on over to writing. I felt like they did pretty good. I think they did throw a lot of cheese into the dialogue.
Yes, especially with
the catchphrases that Buzz has.
Yeah. The they definitely tried to do as many references as they could to Buzz in the Toy Story films. Like, even when he did the like Buzz Lightyear to Star Command, why don't they answer? I'm like, okay, you know, I love it, but at the same time, that felt like a little forced.
Yeah, I'm like, freaking cringy.
I did love, though, the scene where he's like, he is talking to, you know, the, oh my god, whatever the hell it's called. the mission log. And then freaking Hawthorne like interrupts her, him, and she's just like, you know, no one listens to those, right? And he's just like, I know that, but you know, it helps keep me focused.
Like, that was a fun like justification for that. Like, yeah. I did really appreciate that. And dude, one thing that I thought that they were gonna do, which I'm a little okay, actually it might have seemed forced, is I kind of wish that something bumped his helmet so it opened up on that planet without them knowing if there was like air, and then have him do the thing.
I feel that scene, I would have been like, okay.
Yeah, also, like, now much. That I've, like, now that I've talked it out, I was kind of waiting on
it. I'm sorry, man.
Completely fair.
I will say one line that, like, I went like, yeah, was at the beginning when he's, like, pulling, you know, like, trying to, like, get the ship to, like, go up and, like, not hit the the edge of a rock, and the rookie's just like, are you sure, Buzz? He's just like, I'm Buzz Lightyear, I'm always sure. That one felt like very not authentic, but just like very like fluid. It didn't feel out of place or nothing. So like I freaking got like a huge grin when he said that.
Yeah, but he never like, I don't think he ever said something like that, right?
Yes, he did in Toy Story 2. When they're running through the air vents, and this is when it's not their Buzz, it's the other Buzz,
right?
And they're running through the air ducts, and I forget who asks him, because he's like, "Oh, this way," and they're just like, "Are you sure?" And he's just like, "I'm Buzz Lightyear, I'm always sure."
Oh, I completely missed that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't catch that reference at all. So,
oh, shit.
That's a good one to know. Oh, okay, so yeah, I really like that one. Then, the other stuff was like a little funky. Though you're mocking me, aren't you? Like I was like, eh,
yeah,
like come on.
Freaking, what was it like? The first 5 minutes, they like tried to work in like five different.
I know. I'm just like, dude, spread them out.
Like, goddamn.
Like, I swear, you have freaking an hour 40 minutes. Like, you could spread them out
Yeah. And you have four freaking movies of catchphrases that you can put in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that stuff is something I definitely docked for.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the stuff that I really liked was the, I really dug the conversation that they were having in the mining colony. Because they had, like, they just had a bunch of, like, really good lines that hit Buzz, like, in his character. Like, how he was talking about, like, oh, if, like, how am I going to save you if I'm, like, stuck with you guys? And they're just like, we don't need you to be, like, to save us. We need you to come help us with this. Yeah. And, like, I loved those moments. I loved, like, even the sandwich conversation. Like, talking about the sandwich and Buzz kind of just being, like, really vulnerable and talking about, like, how he was a screw-up and, when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, it all those, like, moments of growth were really nice to see with a character that comes off as cocky as Buzz does.
True.
So, I really, really dug that stuff. Dude, Chris Evans was killer. Was a killer choice.
I told Caleb, literally, he took away any doubt or fear I had of him playing Buzz Lightyear within the first 5 minutes. Because I know everyone's was just like, oh yeah, you know. I mean, and this is like really acting. So actually, you know what? I'm going to say that for acting.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I have a lot to say about his performance. But yeah, dialogue wise, I felt it was pretty good. There was a lot. Now that I'm like talking it through, I may have lied about acting or story being my low score.
I can honestly agree with you, yeah, with writing, because there were some lines, especially from the Buzz's team. I forget all their names.
Izzy, Mo, and Darby.
There was some dialogue, especially like when they're trying to, like when that Zerg robot grabs Buzz and like he's literally walking away with them and they're trying to rescue him. I feel like the whole the harpoon joke, how they kept like dragging that on with how
I know.
He kept missing. I'm like, come on, like we get it. He missed or he keeps missing. Can we move on to the next joke?
Yeah. Thinking about all that stuff kind of brings me down a little bit.
One more thing. Even the frickin', what's the old lady's name?
Darby.
I feel even like the parole thing was mentioned way too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, the joke, I think it was meant to be played off as funny, but it just fell a little short of funny.
Yeah, I mean, I chuckled, but I didn't expect you to literally just keep adding to the joke.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even that she brought up she was a convict, it was her parole. I'm just like, okay, we get it, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you want to make that line better? Bring up that she's a convict during that fight, and then bring up that she's a convict at the very end.
Perfect.
And then, like the whole conversation with Buzz, like, hey, so, like, why are you a convict? Oh, I stole a ship? And then have Buzz kind of do his whole thing, but I think it, yeah, just kind of fell short. And that's no fault of the actress.
Oh, no, she did great.
This was just purely a writing issue. Trying to think of someone else. Zerg was kind of like generic for a villain. Like I feel he should have talked a little bit more.
I agree.
Like yeah, when he was old Buzz, I think. Yeah, when he was old Buzz, I think he talked more. But then I wish he would have been in the suit and talked. Given like some more dialogue, because it just seemed like it was old Buzz gave away his evil plan, and then after that he just kind of was like attacking Buzz.
Yeah,
like there was no real dialogue other than like the occasional like little line. Like I don't know. Wasn't a super memorable, like, fight.
No, it wasn't.
I think some better dialogue between old and young Buzz would have helped a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah, I talked myself, like, way down.
I'm still in the 80s?
I'm still in the 80s, too, but I was thinking I was going to be in, like, the mid-80s. But I think I'm in the low.
I'm honestly like at a solid 80.
Yeah, I'm like maybe a little higher than you. I'm like at an 81. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on over to acting. We have a pretty star-studded cast here. So we'll just cover the big ones. We have Chris Evans, who voiced Buzz Lightyear. Kiki Palmer, who voiced Izzy Hawthorne. Peter Son. I'm going to say Son. Son?
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's Son.
All right. Peter Son, who voiced Sox. Taika Waititi, who voiced Mo Morrison. Dale Soles, who voiced Darby Steele. James Brolin, who voiced Zurg, and then Uzo Aduba, who voiced Alicia Hawthorne. So I think those are pretty much the main players.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, just looking. Yeah, other than that, no. Like, no one else of note, I would say. All right. I would say top three, but I'm assuming Buzz is at number one for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do top four, like, okay, knowing that Buzz is number one.
Okay. All right. Number four. Sorry.
Man, this isn't even, like, difficult for me.
Oh, it's not?
Not really.
Okay, number four, I'm gonna give it to Dale Soles, who played Darby Steele. She was okay. Amazing. I loved her. Number three, I would actually give to I'm gonna actually change it because I forgot how much I loved her. Number four, I'm gonna actually give it to Uzo Aduba, who played Alicia Hawthorne. Absolutely loved her as this character, and her emotional moments that she had to have were amazing. Number three, you know, I would actually give it to Dale Soles. She was slightly above Uzo. I loved her as Darby. She was amazing. Great character. Number two, I would give to Peter Sohn, who played Sox, because, oh my god, this freaking character is just amazing. And his voice fits it so perfectly, and I love it so much. And then, of course, number one, Chris Evans as Buzz Lightyear. Fantastic job. An amazing follow, or not predecessor. It's not predecessor, right? When you follow up someone, what's it called?
I forget the term for it.
Okay. But he's a great follow-up to Tim Allen, who, of course, voiced Buzz Lightyear literally in almost everything. I will say, me and Caleb both agree with this, we feel that it would have been so much cooler, nothing against James Brolin, but if Tim Allen would have done the voice for Old Buzz.
That would have been so good.
I don't know if they weren't able to get Tim Allen or they just didn't want to do that, but like I said, nothing against James Brolin because he's an amazing actor, but I just feel that's kind of a missed opportunity.
Dude, it was a super missed opportunity. I was, oh man. Oh. All right. My number four, I think I'm going to, same as you, I'm going to go with Uzo Aduba, who voiced Alicia. I felt like she did a really good job. She seemed to sound more natural in her speaking. It didn't feel like so like performative. Or like it didn't feel like she was trying to play up anything. My number three, I'm actually going to give to Taika Waititi. I thought Mo was a very funny character. Enjoyed hearing Taika kind of run with him, which it was kind of cool. Like it felt like they designed Mo around Taika Waititi.
Dude, I thought the same thing.
So I loved that little thing that they did there. But yeah, I think his performance was really good. Hit the comedic marks like perfectly. And then, yeah, my number two, same as you, I'm giving to Peter Sohn, who voiced Sox, because Sox was epic. Like, he had, like, a perfect mixture of, like, heart, but still sounding robotic.
Yeah.
Like, it was such an interesting, like, thing that he was doing with his voice. Because there were times where he felt like he was, like I said, he was being very welcoming in his voice, or comforting, but never went so far where it sounded like comforting to where it seemed not robotic.
Yeah.
So really appreciated that. Unfortunately, Keke Palmer just did not crack top four for me. And it was mainly because I felt hers came off a little, like, campy.
Yeah, that's... I can agree with that.
Yeah, it's just... I think animated work is really difficult to do.
It is.
So... Yeah, that's unfortunately all that was keeping her from there. Like, she's a close number five. But I just liked Uzo a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what it was. Her voice felt, like, comforting to me. I don't know what it was about her voice.
Yeah, right. Or you're talking about Uzo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Okay, so I'm not the only one. Okay.
No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
And then, yeah, number one, Buzz. Or Chris Evans. Dude, he matched Tim Allen's cadence to a T.
Yeah,
he threw in his, like, Chris Evans-ness. And it was usually, like, around when he was talking a little bit more, wholeheartedly, or being a little bit more vulnerable, or having some sort of emotion rather than, like, this stoic, not quite monotone, but just, like, you know, kind of the same sound. Because yeah, I wouldn't quite say that Buzz Lightyear has a monotone voice. It's just, like I said, it's very stoic. So it's always, like, talking like he's a hero. Like, almost kind of like Metro Man from Megamind.
That is a great way to put it.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, Chris Evans, like, nailed the stoicness of Tim Allen damn near flawlessly, but was able to throw in his own personality, which was really nice to see.
Yes.
So... I personally loved his performance. Like, it was top notch. And I think, like you said when you messaged me, it was like first 5 minutes, like, seeing him speak as Buzz, that after that I had no issues hearing Buzz from him. It is kind of interesting though that they would choose to do this type of story with, and then cast Chris Evans, like the whole Man Out of Time thing.
Yes, they had this planned.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, dude, this is basically Captain America in space.
Yeah, seriously though. And you know what? I am all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So where are you sitting acting wise?
Really, even, like, the lower performances, I still thought were super, super good. So I really don't have huge problems with it. So I'm going to go an 88.
I am going to go a little bit lower than you, and it's purely because of everyone that wasn't Buzz other than Sox.
Even Taika? Like,
Buzz and Sox freaking, like, held this movie together.
It's true.
Yeah, Izzy, Mo, Darby, Zurg, like all of them did okay with their performances. It just was like, it felt like they were dragging it down just a hair.
That's fair.
So I mean, so I think I'm down at like an, I think I'm going to like an 85, unfortunately.
No, it's understandable. I get it.
All right, well, that averages out to an 86.5. And then I don't know if I said it for writing. Writing averaged out to an 80.5. All right, moving on over to character development. This, I felt, they did a pretty good job on.
Yeah, they really did. Honestly, I loved seeing Buzz Lightyear's story arc throughout this movie. Especially the fact that, like, at the end when, you know, he meets old Buzz and, you know, Buzz is just like, oh, hey, you know, like, I have it this way to where, you know, we can go back in time. We can reset everything to how we want it. We can be Space Rangers again. Hawthorne can be our partner once again. And, you know, young Buzz is just like, yeah, but that basically takes away literally everything that she already had. Her wife, her daughter, just all this stuff. Oh wait, no, I'm sorry. No, they had a son, didn't they? And then,
yes, and then the granddaughter.
That, yes, thank you. And so that literally just takes away everything that she worked really hard for. And the fact that, you know, Buzz chooses, you know, other people over himself with making it right for him. Honestly, I feel is like such a Buzz move, and I love it so much. The way that we climb to that with Buzz at the beginning, you know, his main focus is wanting to finish the mission to actually get everybody home, and just discovering along the way that, hey, you know, maybe where I'm stuck is, it's not really stuck. I'm actually, you know, like, happy where I am after I've met all of these amazing people. I thought it was a really good character arc, and I think Pixar did a really good job.
Yeah, I agree. He did. He had lots of growth, where in the beginning he was very resistant towards working with rookies, and then ultimately gets to the point where he only wants to work with his rookies. And it was just a sweet moment, like thinking that, oh, I can handle it myself. I can handle it myself. And then just kind of struggling with the feeling that he left everyone abandoned on this unknown planet. And I think that was like, it was a really tough thing for him to deal with. And it's understandable both directions that he went with, with the Buzz that we were following versus the Buzz that eventually turned into Zurg. Like, you understand both of their perspectives. Like, they both have this, we need to complete the mission mentality. But the old Buzz didn't have people in his life to connect to. So it kind of makes sense that he would become disconnected from what everyone else wanted, or why people would be happy on this planet. Like, I just felt it was like a super interesting story arc for him. And it's, I don't know. I thought it was really nice, a really great story to tell. So, gosh, that, like, now I'm just sitting in silence because it was that good. So, what are you thinking character development wise?
I can't decide if I'm either in the like high 90s, not 90s, wow, sorry. either low 80s or high 90s. So you know what? I'm just going to meet in the middle and I'm going to give it a 90.
I'm going to give it a 91 just because I really enjoyed the arc. I felt they did Buzz really good justice.
Absolutely so, agree.
Really appreciated everything that they did with that, and it kept it interesting. Like, even though the story wasn't necessarily the best, the growth that we get from Buzz made it, like, kind of made up for that.
Yes, absolutely agree.
All right, so that averages to a 90.5. Moving on over to effects, which in this case is animation. Damn.
Yeah. God damn.
Dude, it was so freaking good.
This is top notch. I mean, Pixar's always been top notch with animation, but I have never seen human characters look this good in a Pixar film. Like, holy shit.
Dude, the freaking texturing that they had on everything, like, it was so good. Like, one of the scenes that stood out to me was with the rookie, at the beginning, when Buzz and Hawthorne were running towards the turnip, and then Buzz sees the freaking rookie getting taken down by these plants, and I thought it was super funny that they included the little sad eyes thing.
Yeah.
And he's just like, ah, and then runs and goes to save the rookie. But when he looks back, like, you could see the sweat on his face. And yeah, his helmet, like, kind of was, like, fogged up a little bit. Like, it's just, like, those little details, like, just blew the effects out of the water with this. Like, the animation was so freaking good.
Dude, freaking the way that Pixar has improved with how they do hair, especially Alicia's hair, holy shit, looked incredible.
Yeah. Have you seen like their, I'm not sure if it's like a full-blown documentary, but what they've accomplished with that, and why they feel comfortable taking on some of these more cultural hairstyles?
No, huh?
Like, so they developed this technology for Encanto, where they're able to get, like, natural curls that actually, like, work really well with physics, and they're not just, like, super stationary and shit. So they've advanced their hair technology to extreme degrees, where before they were only ever able to do, like, straight hair. Now they can do curly hair and, like, just different styles of hair. Like, they're able to go through the full dynamic range that hair is it can go through.
That is so badass. That makes me so happy.
It's so good. Like, oh. But yeah, Alicia's hair looked incredible. Like, all the fine details in this movie was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I had, like, close to no complaints with this.
Yeah. Same here. Like, same here.
I think my only, like, real complaints was when it came to maybe certain shielding. Okay. Like the shielding that Buzz had when he was flying past that sun, that looked fine, but, like, the laser grid was a little, like, iffy.
Okay. I get where you're coming from.
And then some, like, the movement of some of the Zerg bots kind of felt a little iffy at times too.
Yeah, yeah, I can agree with that one.
Yeah, other than that, I can't really think of anything like animation wise that wasn't great. So, I mean, the stuff that I pointed out was just like super minor, but I think I'm still in like the high 90s.
Oh yeah, same here.
Where are you at?
Yeah, just for how much I love this animation. You know, I'm gonna go a 97.
That is actually exactly where I was at too.
Sweet.
Hell yeah. Alright, next up we got music.
Nothing really, like, don't get me wrong, the soundtrack worked with the movie, but, like, there wasn't, like, any, like, tune that I was, like, humming after I got out of the theater.
Yeah, same here. Like, the songs that they had worked well. The only one that I really even kind of noticed was the Buzz Lightyear, like, theme song.
Yeah, that's really all that I remembered.
But other than that, it was just very, very basic, like, worked for the scenes. I'm gonna give some props, though, because, like, when they enhanced the scene, they enhanced the freaking scene.
Yeah, oh, Michael Giacchino, I'm gonna butcher his name, Michael Giacchino, I think that's how you say his name, guy does amazing with scores, and once again he did a great job with Lightyear.
Yeah, like, this was tough. Like, had the music not worked so well with the scenes and just enhanced them as much as they did, I probably would have been about like a 7, but I think with how well executed the soundtrack was used, I think I'm sitting more around an 8.
I can match that.
Alright, next up we got costumes.
Oh. Whew.
Holy shit, dude.
If you had any fear that they wouldn't be able to actually pull off how the Buzz Lightyear costume looks on a Buzz Lightyear action figure at the end of this movie, because it doesn't happen until the end, all of your fears will just be blown away.
Dude, holy, even, oh my gosh, when, so, the suit, like the first suit that he gets into, or that he's seen in, like, just that suit alone, and, like, throughout the, like, basically the entire freaking movie, felt so good. Like, it felt like something an astronaut would actually wear.
Absolutely. They did a great job making the Buzz Lightyear spacesuit realistic.
Yeah, it oh my gosh, I can't even talk about how well it freaking worked out. And they incorporated all of the freaking different aspects to the Buzz Lightyear toy so well. Like, turning the freaking the red button into like an emergency switch, like, absolute genius. Like, especially, like, since he didn't have like a jetpack attached to his suit until like the very end. Yeah, that was a stroke of genius. The three buttons, I wish we would have learned what the buttons do.
Yeah, because we only learned about one, right? Just the stealth button, not the other two.
Yeah. And being able to see that the helmet isn't just a helmet for oxygen. It also serves as, like, a heads-up display.
Yes.
Like, that was awesome. Like, I noticed, like, in the background, whenever he had the helmet on and it was, like, zoomed up close on his face, you could see, like, numbers and stats and different shit. Or, like, when he was walking towards the ship, and then behind him you could see, like, Izzy, Mo, and Darby. Like, it showed the names and everything up in the on the display, and I'm like, that is so freaking cool. So I loved that. Gosh. Yeah, all of that was freaking awesome. And so satisfying when he, like, got back into the suit. Oh, yeah. And I love that they used the different colors for Mo and Darby. I think it would have looked, like, kind of like, eh, whatever, when with the different colors. Or with the same color. Like, if they were all in green, I think, like, eh.
I mean, it worked at the end of the movie, because I feel that's a straight-up nod to the animated show.
Oh, yeah. Straight up. But I really appreciate, like, the other colors. Because it's... Like, I know it's kind of more or less ripping off, like, Star Trek. Like, those, like, colors of, like, rank and stuff. But that's how I would feel they would actually distinguish between ranks or positions. Like, I think they would do it based off of color.
I agree.
So, love that. And then the final suit, dude. Chef's kiss.
Right. Oh, so good. So good.
I love that they added, like, the carbon fiber.
It looks pattern. So shiny.
It was so good. Like, it was the carbon fiber green. Like, everything was, like, super bright colored. And then they were, like, walking. And then they, like, you see the freaking jetpacks with the wings and everything. And you're just, oh. Just. Could that have gotten any better?
No, I don't think it could have.
I think, I had no issues with the Zerg bots. I think my only issue was with Zerg himself, but that was so minor.
Fair enough.
My only thing was, like, okay, Zerg's just, like, a little too big.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I felt like it would have been... you probably could have gotten away with it not being a mech.
Yeah, true.
It did make him intimidating when he was, like, right next to the Z-bots. And, how big he was, but, like I said, super minor issue.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't have any issues.
I got nothing.
So, I think, unless I'm, like, misreading your reaction, I think I know exactly what we're giving costumes.
A 10?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Were you thinking 9?
No, I was thinking 10, but I just wanted to make sure that I was reading you right.
Okay. Yeah, perfect 10 for costumes, because it was animators, or whoever, like, designed this, freaking, I hope you get all the raises.
Yes.
All right, last up, we got our own personal score. So, where are you sitting?
All right, overall, this was a great origin movie. I had a blast, pun intended, with this one. I didn't think that we needed this movie, but it turned out that they actually wrote a very good script around it, and it makes sense that this is where the whole, like, Buzz Lightyear thing started, and then when it came to, like, expanding on the universe, this is where it started, and then they just branched off from this. Chris Evans was amazing as Buzz Lightyear. Great cast overall. Animation was, oh my god, just incredible. So overall, yeah, just for how much I enjoyed this movie, I'm gonna go a solid 90.
I friggin' spoiler alert, I'm going with 90 as well.
Hell yeah.
I had an absolute blast with this movie. It hit all of my, like, inner childhood needs in, like, the best way possible. And it was so much fun. Like, you completely understand at the end why Andy would be obsessed with Buzz Lightyear.
Like I told you, after I saw this movie, I wanted to go buy a Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. It's just, like, that's what you want out of it. It's It was so much fun. And it, like I said, it was such a surprise of a movie. I didn't have super high hopes for this movie until like some of the trailers started coming out. And I'm like, like I almost had no interest seeing this movie.
I mean, I knew I was going to see it just because it's a Toy Story.
Yeah, I knew I was going to see it eventually. I didn't think I was going to be like opening weekend or anything, even though technically it still wasn't. But that's because I work on weekends.
Opening week.
Yeah. Like I thought I was going to wait until it came out on Disney Plus to watch it. Like that's how little interest I had when it got announced. And then once they started revealing a little bit more, I was like, okay, I can get behind this. I can get behind this. And thinking, like, okay, I'll go see it in theaters. And then this blew me away. This absolutely blew me away.
I feel we definitely need to watch this on VR with the whole, like, you know, like they have like that space.
Oh, straight up.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to look so cool.
Oh, that'd be the best. Dude, I'm so down for that. Sweet. I'm so down.
We just gotta wait till it comes to Disney Plus so you can actually get a good copy of it.
Yeah, for real. Alright, so yeah. Like I said, giving it a 90, which averages us out to a 90. And with that concludes this week's breakdown and the final All Bros letter grade for Lightyear has come to a B+.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, a really, really strong B+. It is
yes.
Not far away at all from being an A-.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, so let's see where it's sitting at. Alrighty. So, Lightyear, sitting at a B+, which is at an 89.43%. Yeah, so it's up there. So that puts it below The Matrix Revolutions, which is at an 89.53. Puts it below Black Widow, which is at an 89.62. Puts it below Better Watch Out, which is at an 89.72. Puts it below Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is at an 89.75. And then puts it below Defy Bloods, which is at an 89.8.
Alright.
Yeah. And then going the opposite direction, puts it above Ready or Not, which is at an 89.40. Puts it above our original Spider-Man Far From Home score, which is at an 89.35. Puts it above Black Panther, which was at an 89.34. Puts it above Knives Out, which was at an 89.31. And then finally puts it above Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is at an 89.25.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, definitely not bad. And like most of our B+ movies, the margins here are really freaking tight. Like, I don't even know how many movies you have to go down to get like a full percentage away.
Damn.
Yeah, like you have to go down 11 movies before you get a full percentage.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and then going up. Yeah, going up you have like a lot. Like it's like the same thing. 11 movies before you even get to like a full percentage. Here, I want to try something real quick. That'll be. Alright, so just for shits and giggles, to get a full percentage away from Lightyear going up, you have to go up 16 movies.
Holy shit.
And that is cracking like A-minus territory.
God damn.
That's 1%. That is a 1% difference. 17 or 16 movies fall in that category.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. So like it's Lightyear and 1917 are 1% difference from each other.
Okay, wow.
So I love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, that concludes this week's breakdown. If you like this episode, want to check out more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are basically everywhere. You can catch all of our episodes on YouTube, which we actually had a comment on a YouTube video, one that was like an actual comment and not like a, hey, promote this on here.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, and it was actually like a pretty, so kind of a spoiler alert if you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick. You remember how we were saying that the relationship between Maverick and Penny Benjamin was kind of like out of the blue?
Yes.
So they actually pointed out that Penny Benjamin was the Admiral's daughter that was referenced in the first Top Gun.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense now.
Right?
Well, thank you, whoever pointed that out. That yeah. Makes me like the movie more now.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah. I mean, not a lot because we didn't see Penny Benjamin, but still, like,
yeah, well, still loved it.
Anyway, so yeah, you can catch our episodes on YouTube. You can follow us on social media if you want to hit us up with an episode idea, want to join us for an episode. Like, we'd love to take anyone on. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all at The All Bros. You can email us at theallbroschannel@gmail.com if you so choose, or go to our website, which is tinyurl.com/theallbros, where you can find links to everything that we do. And I recently updated our settings, so now everyone can see our episode art.
Hey!
Yeah, dude, that was the thing that was bugging me the most about going on Spotify, because, yeah. Like I said, I freaking make these special for the episode, and so when you can't see them, it really pisses me off.
You know what? Fair enough. I can understand why.
Yeah, so hopefully you should be able to see them on iTunes now and Spotify, and basically just everywhere else. So hopefully that's the case. But I try to fix it. anyway. So, yeah. Next week, we will finally be breaking down The Bad Guys.
2 months later.
2 months later.
I don't even know how long it's been since we
No, it's only been a few weeks.
Okay, a few.
Because we were supposed to break it down when I talked with DJ. So 2 weeks ago? Three, yeah, if you're counting... Right.
Yeah, if you count this week, it's 3 weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll finally be breaking down The Bad Guys, so you guys can look forward to that next week. And until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we'll catch you guys next time. Deuces!
So long!
Freaking cracky there.
Just a little bit.